Going inshallah.
Well, we'll refer to Andrew, who's our finance director.
It's got to be inshallah.
Okay, to start with, obviously most of our clients are monkeys. They go frequently and slightly obsessively to the gym, so obviously we're targeted towards those people.
So these are gym bell nut fitness nutcases, is that right?
So yes, our very first meeting, it is free, we don't actually charge, it's a set kind of initial meeting that we have with them. At our expense, sorry, not free.
What's it called?
It's called the gym joining fee.
The gym joining, okay. Yeah. Okay, no fee for that, yeah?
No fee for that. Obviously, we have a kind of a chat with the clients at that stage, get all basic information. Moving on then to the health appraisal.
Health appraisal, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the discovery meeting, the health appraisal.
Yep,
carry
on. No detail, just headline. Just give me headline names.
Okay.
I should be able to guess from the headline names.
Okay, that's fine. I'm just trying to find where that figure was. Was it that one?
ECG. Okay. Yes.
Moving on then to an isotonic report.
Anti-colic?
Isotonic.
Right. Report, yeah.
And at which stage we charge a £1,200 fee.
Okay. So is that the end of the advice phase?
Yes, correct.
Okay.
No.
Okay. Right, carry on.
Moving on to the catatonic catalyst meeting.
Catatonic catalyst. Okay. And I need you to tell me, Charlotte, whether we're in advice or implementation or review.
That is advice at that stage.
That's still advice.
And we're moving on to implementation, which is the financial fitness strategy.
The financial fitness strategy. Okay. I've got a £1,200 fee partway through the advice process. What happens at the end of the catatonic catalyst?
At that stage, we actually discuss what fee we're actually going to be charging for the work in total that we'll be doing, which I think will be
so. So is this £1,200 fee charged at the isotonic report stage or at the catatonic catalyst
stage? Actually, at the report stage.
Implementation, you charge what?
2%.
2%? And do you have a review process in the launch phase?
We do, which is the fifth month of the month.
Is that in the launch phase or the orbit phase?
Orbit.
You sure? And what's the fee for the orbit? What's the fee for the orbit phase?
0.75%
per annum. Okay. 0.75% of assets under management.
Correct.
Okay. All right. The problem I had with this one is there's no minima. And if my assets were not enough to cover your costs, I repeat that. If my assets, 0.75% of my assets, were not enough to cover your costs for the year, you're stuffed. Minimum of £1,500. Okay, I didn't hear that. With a minimum of £1,500, I heard. Okay, got that. I'm going to be thinking for the next few minutes about two of them. I've already thrown out two. I've been really ruthless. Okay, I'll let you know before tea time. Sorry? Okay, two of you are out, and I'm just thinking about the other two. What's really interesting listening to you is this. I'm your new client. You have explained to me that there is this launch and the orbit phase, and because I'm pushing you in time, I'm panicking you purposely. I'm putting you on the spot in a fairly stressful situation. I still had to ask, where am I in the journey? And I shouldn't have to ask. And nothing wrong with that. I mean, it's just time and pressure and stress and so on and so forth. But if I'm your new client, remember, I'm under pressure and I'm under stress and I'm unsure and I'm confused and I'm feeling vulnerable. And I need you to guide me through the journey, saying it very clearly, right, we are now in the launch phase and this is how we charge. Da, 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 da. End of advice, we charge that. Is that clear in the launch phase? We're now in implementation. You just need to keep practicing this, and of course it's the first time many of you have ever done it, so there's no way you've had a practice. But the communication of this journey attached to your fees and its crispness is really important. So what you've learned from today is, okay, I'm getting it, I'm kind of getting there, but I need to practice this. And you do. Because I tell you what, if you waffle, or if I don't get you and you starting to explain yourself, you're already on the back foot. And you don't need to be on the back, you don't want to be on the back foot in a first meeting where you're explaining what you do. In fact, coming back to Charlotte and Gary, I'm not recommending necessarily that you publish your fees before the meeting. There are advantages and disadvantages to that. But if you did, I shouldn't have to ask you any questions. That makes sense? In other words, you should be able to communicate it so crisply that if I received a one-sheeter from you, I'd understand it like that. Graphically, I just get it. Would never have to ask you again. So I'd walk into the meeting, if this was appropriate in your marketing and sales process, where we never discuss you and your service. We discuss who?
Clients.
Yeah. And I don't have to ask you. So what I'm doing today is really pushing you hard on a subject where you're just kind of wrestling with all these names and structures and launch and phase, and just saying, this is what you need to get clear in the communication of your business to your new prospective client. Does that make sense? And what's the other market you're going to struggle with once you practice it on your new prospective clients? Who are going to be the hardest to convert? Your existing clients. And if you can't get this crisp to the new prospective client, you go back to the existing client, and if you're waffling this, they'll smell you out and they'll have you, because you're already on the back foot because you've taught them something else and you're now teaching them a new lesson. You need to be oozing confidence and clear and concise with this communication. So the reason why you've got the workbooks is to go back to base, you know, without all this pressure and the games going on, and just get this clear. Are we in the launch phase when we're talking? Are we in the orbit phase when we're talking? Is it A, is it I, is it R? Are we there? Are we there? Are we there? Are we there? And you're absolutely right in whatever you do, don't get trapped into this is the annual fee for. What's wrong with that? This is the annual fee for.
Things will change.
What's wrong with that?
Things will change. The strategy will develop.
Yeah. And suppose you get a really complex case that costs you five times as much resource as the normal case. Where are you then? You're in trouble. You then start to make stuff up as you go along. So always work on, this is our minimum fee for this. Yeah? And it allows you to take on really complex cases. you'll eventually get to a stage where you'll have a range. You'll look back at your worst possible case ever that nearly killed you and cost your firm a lot of money, and you realise that's my maximum fee. Okay, and this is my normal minimum fee. Does that make sense? Be really careful about not getting this minimum down. The minute you let out of your mouth, this is our fee, they've got you. Because if it's really complex and you'd misunderstood the nature of complexity, you're running at a loss and you're scrabbling to make it up somewhere else. And you don't need to be in that position. Does that make sense?
What if something happens to you in the middle of that process where you realise, hold on, this is a lot more complex than I thought? How do you work with the structure?
That's a good question. What most advisors do is they really do develop this range. And this comes from experience. You're going to screw up, Gary. You're going to screw up. You're going to make a mess of something. And you're going to completely undersell the value you service. You're going to do that. And that pain will teach you a lesson. And you'll never do that again. And so you develop a range which you're comfortable in saying so that they're comfortable in hearing. So I met with David... down in Wales, can't remember his name, does a lot of stuff with strategic coach Dan Sullivan. Works with David Batchelor a lot. David Winger, yeah. He's got this big range. He just says it like that. You know, it's 6,000. What's your problem? He just looks in the eye. It's from there to there. And he's got to there by pain, by getting it wrong. So, minimum and range. Learn to do that. And eventually you'll become comfortable in expressing that. Does that make sense? Okay, good. We've really hammered that. And we've covered a lot of the future. I'd like somebody to go to page... You know, I'm not going to spend time on segmentation. Because it's now really obvious. You've got a main service and you've got something that you want to charge less for and something that you want to charge more for, and you just decide, I maybe have two or three different types of service I want to offer, but here's the main service. Point about segmentation is a bit overdone in this industry because it's so new. Okay, you know, it only really came up in the last 3 or 4 years. Other industries just think, well, what's the fuss about? Of course you segment your clients. Of course you have different services for different types of client. You know, British Airways do it, Club Class, Executive. It's normal. Most businesses don't see the big issue here. They don't see the excitement. Why wouldn't you do that? Here's a piece of advice, a warning. Don't get excited about being hard-nosed about your segments. What do I mean by that? The question you ask yourself is this: where do I really want you to go in my service? Where do I want the 150 clients to really end up?
In your most expensive service.
Yeah, you want the highest fee you can for the quality of value that you give. And what you do is, you decide how you play this game, but you just say, look, I'll give them a choice, but I know where I really would rather you end up. And now if you don't want to end up there, it's a pain in the neck, but here's a lesser service for you. And if you want something way over the top than what I really, really want to spend my time servicing for 150 clients, because you've got to service this stuff. If you're not structured for it, you're in trouble if you offer a more than service that you can't handle. Because you can't handle more than a few clients. And if they all end up in your top service, I promise you, you'll be in trouble. Just decide where you want the clients to really, really go and make that the no-brainer service. And then look at what they're doing in the meetings and then decide, do I want to offer them a less than service and do I want to offer them a more than service? And do it. Just offer it. But organise your structure in such a way that you know where you want them to end up, and that's the service that becomes the no-brainer. If they won't pay for it, then shove them in the less than service. But make it less, a lot less than. So I know where I want most of my clients. and I design my programs so that most people end up where I want them to end up. And the less than service I've actually cancelled. Because you know what? I didn't want to service it, and they didn't want to be in it. Because it wasn't, you know, it's not where I wanted people to be in my relationship with them. So in the end, people said, you're right, I don't want to be there either. So I just cancelled it. But I had it as a choice initially to test out, where does the market really want to go? So decide where you want your clients to go and design your service accordingly. And then if you desire to, offer a less than and a more than. Do you see where I'm going with this? Yeah? Don't get caught up in the industry excitement with, got to segment everything. Yeah, it's a nice idea and it's worth doing. But only if your clients really want it and if you want it.
You offer three or two services?
The moment I offer two, right. Eventually there'll be five.
But your ideal client is not in the top one.
I can't handle... Well, here's the point I made. How many can I handle in the top one? Uh-huh. Yeah? I can't handle all the clients I need.
Wasn't the question. The question was, is your ideal the one, not the top one, but the middle one?
It's the middle one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
that's the
in
idea.
A way, a lot of people... And if someone just happens to want the big one, it's a bonus.
And they'll pay for it.
And they'll pay for it.
Absolutely.
A lot more.
Yeah. And next year, it will be a lot more. Yeah, next year it will be ludicrously more. Oh, by the way, all your fees are guaranteed for 3 years, as you know. The next year, new people coming in at the top service will pay ludicrously more. Because I realise that's consuming more time than I now have available. Does that make sense? And you need to think the same way too. If it consumes more time, your time is finite. And you cannot handle 150 people consuming masses of time. So work it out as a business where you really want them to be and cost it and plan it accordingly. Does that make sense? Don't get caught up in the excitement of I have to segment because everybody says I've got to do that. Yeah? Okay, enough on segmentation. Okay, I'd like four Advisor Gym members to explain page 35. Okay, brief summary please. Two from this table. Okay, one from Howard, one from Fred. Top one, Howard. Explain quickly what's being said there.
Keep the message clear, simple, and consistent.
Yep.
So it's a nice, easy, yeah. Understood message.
Clear, simple, consistent. Clear, simple, consistent. And I'll always throw you back if I hear confusion. Clear, simple. Fred, what's number two about?
Well, be clear about your genius.
Yeah.
Again, keep it simple, short, concise as to what you can do best.
Yeah.
We do best here.
Be really clear about your genius. Point number three from this table. Yeah. Go on, Arthur.
When you meet somebody for the first time, you should have what I call elevator music, elevator conversation.
Yeah.
That it just trips off the tongue. What I do is, I've got it written down somewhere, but
yeah.
you just, when somebody asks, what is it you do? Well, what I do is, you know how, and you just launch into it, and you should be able to just...
Yeah. And getting there is hard work. Getting to the other side of complexity is hard work. But that's where people give their right arm, because they understand what to do, and it hits them hard. And they understand. Another point, next point, thank you.
Okay.
Where are we? Come on, Andrew.
Sorry. You have many unique names. I quite like Stephen's idea.
Go on.
Of the Bull Booner, the Gel Frazee, and the Pitti Pakora.
Yeah. We're using that seriously in the business. The Bull Booner, the Gel Frazee, and the what?
Pakora.
I
also like Chinese food.
Okay. Don't. Don't. Don't underestimate the power of names. Okay, next one. Steve?
Make the client journey graphic. First of all, so the client can actually mind map and understand what you're talking about.
Yeah.
And also so that particular client understands where he is in the process.
Yeah.
And that you're right back at the beginning, not halfway through or towards the end.
Yeah. Very good. Graham, nice and loud.
Clarify launch and orbit phase as well. They need to know exactly where they stand at any point of the process.
Yeah.
Simple as that.
And I don't care what business you're in, whether you're financial planning or whatever you may be in, it doesn't matter. Most businesses tend to have a launch and an orbit phase in their relationship with the client. Next point. What have you got? Yep. What's all that about?
You asking me?
Yep.
Focused first on the core service, primarily making your no-brainer core service, the one that you want the vast majority of your clients to go into.
Yes, yeah. I mean, you're absolutely right, John, in asking that question. It would be nice, of course, if the highest fee that I was charging was the core service, but I know that means more resource and time and expenditure that right now is just not viable for this business.
I just feel that if you offer three, for instance, you've got the cheap one, the middle one, which is your ideal one,
yes,
and you've got the expensive one. It's like buying the Coke in the cinema.
Yeah.
You've got the small, you've got the regular, and you've got Maxi.
And everybody goes
there's
for the...
There's always someone that goes for Maxi because they think that's who they are.
Yes.
But most people will go for the regular.
Absolutely.
The normal. But people will not go for the small one. They won't go for the cheap package because they think, oh, you won't think I'm taking this seriously if I go for the cheap package. So I'll go for the middle one because I think the top one is too expensive for me.
Yeah. I think that's... You know, that's... It sounds a bit glib, doesn't it? But it's just what happens in human thinking. And that's where I started. And all that's happened, John, is this has begun to happen to us in our business. So we had one, two, three, and we suddenly realised, you know what, no one's going there. So for a while, we just get rid of it. And then we're replacing it with something here. Okay, and we're gradually moving the whole thing up. The whole thing is just shifting all the time.
David, can I ask you a question?
Yes.
You mentioned that next year you're going to be putting up the fees more, not to the likes of us, perhaps, but to new clients. Does there come a point when saturation point comes?
Yeah.
In terms of the value that you place on that?
Absolutely. Point? Absolutely.
And when do you know you've reached that stage?
You won't know it until you reach it.
People
just won't. And you know what, Fred? I really, really wish I could find a consultant who could design for me or has practiced a more scientific way of reaching that point. I just can't find anybody. So I keep bumping into people who are multimillionaires. So what, how did you find out when, you know, we just kept testing it. But you can't keep testing that, Fred, unless you're growing. And we're going to come to that in a second, really in a second. You know, I'm going to introduce a thought now, which is a bit ahead of where we are on the page, but I don't want to cover every page in this workshop because you would just get brain dead. I'm going to introduce a thought which you won't be comfortable with, but I need to introduce it. The problem you've got, Fred, all of you, and I have too, is that eventually you are going to get saturated in terms of how many you can handle. You're just going to get there. Be glad that you get there, but you are going to get there. Thank you. Some of you are there, obviously, through legacy. How long have your business been in business, Richard?
37 years.
Yeah. So, can you imagine the legacy Richard's carrying? And he has to work through all that and come out with the right quality and level of clients? That's actually tougher than if you're starting afresh. So his job, what he's carrying, the burden he's carrying, is much more complex and large than most of yours. Eventually, Fred, the time will come when you'll reach a point like Richard, maybe not as big as that, 37 years, where you just have too many people you're dealing with. And you'll recognise, I can't cope with this. And here's the golden rule that I have simply asked others far more successful than me, how do you deal with that? And they say, annually, we make a conscious decision to say goodbye to at least 10% of our clients. You can't do that. You promise them a lifetime. And they just look back at me and say, annually, in order that we can grow as human beings and as professionals, and deal with more sophisticated requirements, more complex needs, skills that we've never had before we need to keep developing. In order that we can grow and our business can grow, we have to say goodbye to 10% of our clients. Now, it could be 15, it could be 70, it really doesn't matter what the percentage is. But the concept is, if you carry a legacy, you're going to strangle yourself, and you're going to strangle your business. And you'll stop yourself dealing with more fulfilling, rewarding, and demanding. You'll stop growing. And in business, I've realized if you stop growing, you're in trouble. Because eventually the market will overtake you. In 1994, our company got heavily into SIPs. We were probably one of maybe a dozen IFAs who really understood SIPs in 1994, 15 years ago. And we were the first who, outside of product providers, developed an internal computer system just to handle SIPs. It was a national system dealing with seven branches of the company. It was really hard work. And getting our head around legislation and, I mean, you now understand drawdown, but you know, we'd never even heard of it before. None of us had heard of it before. What the heck's drawdown? What's phase drawdown? I mean, the phrases were new. The exams weren't even written. And we were into the market. The reason we got into the market was so none of you could. So we had about a 3-year head start against the rest of the country, and we were heavily into SIPs. We were the largest provider of SIPs to Winterthur, who was the largest provider of SIPs at the time. They were a nightmare to deal with, but they were the largest provider. Okay? And we did that, Fred, so that we could grow. So that we'd grow to a stage where none of you could catch up for years. And I mean years. So we were dealing with property cases before most people had even heard of SIPs. And we did that on purpose. And in order to do that, we had to literally say goodbye to some of our client base so we could give ourselves the room to become educated and to practice and get it wrong and get it right in SIPs. But we were good. But it cost us. Cost us saying goodbye to clients to give us the space to deal with more sophisticated clients who required SIPs, because these clients certainly didn't. And it was scary. Some of our revenue went down. Does that make sense? Think about it. How you do it is expressed in the appendix. But you need to consider doing it. How do I say goodbye ethically in some way to a percentage of my clients? It's a real problem. Who has an answer to that? How do you do that?
You know, Paul Batchelor says if you double your fees, you lose a third of your clients.
Say that again? Double your fees,
lose a third. Double your fees, you lose a third of your clients.
And why do you do that?
Well, because the bottom third
can't handle it.
Yeah. But actually, if you work it out, obviously, you're well ahead of the game. Any more time for those people to stay.
And the reason I'm spending so much time on this is this just isn't about money. This is about you and your professional growth and your business growth and all the other people you're dealing with. It's a really tough one to get your head around. A lot of people don't like it. I'm just suggesting you consider it seriously. Thank you. I'm going to spend the rest of the afternoon really on helping you to get your price right and get the highest price for your value that you possibly can. But in the meantime, let's have some coffee. Yeah?